Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, the music's fine.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. Gonna be a bright, sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my guest and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. If you have any comments that you would like to make during this broadcast, you can either call them in at area code 646-716-4893, or if you're feeling a little radio shy, you can email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. Before I introduce my very special guest for tonight, I just want to remind people, now that summer's coming, it's already June, that we're only a couple of months away from our healing weekend here in Philadelphia on the first weekend in October, October 3rd and 4th. This is an opportunity to meet other women face-to-face who have traveled the road you're traveling, who are on the road you're traveling, and to give support to each other and validation. I know that women will tell you that they never leave the same as the way they come, that it really does help them put their lives on track and their recovery road on track. So there's no charge on my part for this weekend. This is my gift to our women. Your only expense is the hotel, which is a group rate for a beautiful hotel, and also a dinner and, you know, food. That's it. But the value of it will last you for years to come, and it will really help a lot of you who are kind of stuck in the muck of moving forward to get that push that you need and to meet others who will become sisters to you. So I strongly suggest, if you haven't been to one of these healing weekends, I've been having them for almost 10 years now, usually twice a year, but this one's just going to be once a year now, that, you know, this is your time to come and start moving your life forward. If you want information, just write to me at bondk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to send you the information. Without much ado, I'd now like to introduce my very special guest, and her name is Deborah Sutton. I'd like to introduce Deborah as a very active member of my Straight Wives Club support group, who is always there for all of the women who are going through their, you know, terrible mishap of finding out what's going on in their marriages. That Deborah is a support person for anyone who's looking for help. And Deborah's gone through her own anguish and own pain going through this, and she's been able to come through it and really reach out and pay forward, as we say. And Deborah has just been inspired this year to come up with a new book. She's a wonderful writer. She's had a blog, and she's put all of her blogs together and her articles together. And her new book, you know, just came out within the last couple of weeks. It's called Signs of a Gay Husband, Identifying Closeted Gay Husband Behaviors. And this is a book that's available from Amazon, and I'll be announcing it in my upcoming newsletter that's coming out next week. So I've bought the book, and I'm loving it, and I know that when you read it, you'll make definitely a connection. So, Deborah, welcome to our show.
Hi, Bonnie.
So good to talk
to
you, Deborah.
It's good to talk to you, too.
Even if you're in the hot, hot part of Texas, right?
Yes, I am. It's very hot here. It's going to be a long, hot summer.
Which usually starts around March in Texas, right?
Yes.
Because the last few years when I had my healing weekends out there, I said, let's make it the first weekend in March. After that, it's too hot. Because
yes,
I always say there's nothing more smothering than the Texas heat that I've ever found.
Do you ever think you'll be in Houston again at any time in the future?
You never know. You never know. Anything is possible, but it's also possible you may end up here coming to see me in Philadelphia too, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That would probably be more likely these days. But, you know, once again, I loved going to Houston. The women we had there are wonderful. It's just, like I say, that heat is so oppressive. And I'll never forget one time I was in Texas. This is a side story before we get moving. And I guess I was in my 20s. And I had to go to a place, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, Texarkana, Texas.
I've heard of it.
Have you ever heard of Texarkana? Yeah. Yeah, I really didn't know much about it, but I'll never forget. I took the plane to Dallas, I think it was, and then I had to transfer it to a little plane to Texarkana. And I'll never forget getting off that plane and gasping for breath saying, where is the air? Like I'm trying to breathe, and there is no air around. And I was like gasping, saying, oh, my God, where am I? You know, and
yes,
I thought, wow.
It takes the air right out. I mean,
it
you
really
feel like
does.
You can't breathe. It's so hot.
I guess you have to get used to it. You know, I'm an Eastern girl, so we get the snow and the cold. You know, that doesn't bother me as much, but that, you know, oppressive heat. So my heart goes out to you, and you were going through all those weather problems with the floods, right?
Yes. Thankfully, we didn't get any floods here. I'm about 80 miles south of Houston. Houston had a lot of flooding, but I was safe.
Terrible.
Here.
Terrible, but you just never know with weather. It's just so volatile. But welcome here. I'm glad you're safe and sound, and I'm sitting in front of my air conditioner, so I'm doing good, too. So let's talk a little bit about you, Deborah. I mean, you and I have been hooked up for a few years now. As you know, you first came to me asking for some support, and, of course, you've given out far more than I could have given you. But, you know, you've given it back 100 times over. So let's talk a little bit about your story.
Okay, I was married for 22 years. It was my second marriage, and my marriage, he wanted out after 22 years, and he wasn't really giving me a good reason. And you know, as a woman, we want answers. We want to know why, you know. And he was acting like it felt like he was having an affair. Something, and he was online a lot, but Now, this was we owned this house together, so I didn't have to leave because he told me to leave. But I was ready to leave. His behavior was so horrible, especially towards the end. So I went ahead, I went ahead and got on the plane and left everything I owned behind and never went back to get any of it. Even when I got to Texas, we were still talking on the phone. I didn't, I had questioned if he was gay, but he always denied it. And to tell you the truth, I really didn't accept that. But right after I got here, a man that I know, it got back to me, that my husband had made sexual advances to this man that I know. And when I heard that, I started putting everything together and realizing that he was gay, or is gay, and I wanted him to admit it to me. So I talked to him on the phone for 6 more months after I got here, and he was never going to admit it. I talked to him for 6 months without bringing that subject up again, because I wanted to keep him talking. But finally I realized he wasn't going to ever admit anything, and I brought it up again, and he never spoke to me again. But I think he was trying to keep me on the side in case his life didn't work out. And he had at one point asked me to find us an apartment here in Texas. And I told him I'd never live with him again. But it's scary to think that I wouldn't have come to the full acknowledgement of the truth, that I could have ended up back with living in the dark with him. That's a scary thought to me.
I think that women are very vulnerable, because I was having this conversation earlier with a young woman. Well, not that young, but, a woman our age, more like your age. we're very naive when it comes to this. And women really beat themselves up saying, why didn't I know? Why didn't I recognize? And I guess, the only answer I keep giving them is stop knocking yourself down. Stop beating yourself up. How would we know? What do we understand? I know that from the time I was little, and it was probably the same way with you, that we were taught that gay people are people who go after someone of the same sex. Was that how you grew up?
Yes. And I thought they were, pretty, feminine. And they're not all feminine.
No, we have that stereotype that we saw on television, with people like Paul Lynde or, Wally Cox, men who were very effeminate, or, Charles Nelson Reilly was on The Match Game for so many years. And this was the image that we had of gay men, not knowing that they could be big, strong football players or martial artists or actors or debonair gentlemen like Rock Hudson. People heard rumors, but they never really believed them. And then people would say, well, they married you. How could they be gay? And I think that's where a lot of our foundation is really shaken, because maybe they weren't gay. They did marry us. Did we do something to make them gay? Was that something that went through your mind at any point?
I didn't think that I made him gay. I did go through the, and still do, why didn't I see it? Why didn't I? Because I did question it, but he, when he said no, of course, I wanted to hear no.
Of course, and I'm happy for that answer.
Yes, I was happy for that answer, and I can't even, especially near the end, I was really thinking, he's gay. This is why my marriage is ending, is because he's gay. And this explains, we haven't been together intimately in 10 to 12 years. But I can tell you how I got caught up in, with his excuses, and they were believable because he was sick. with hepatitis C and on treatment for that, and with depression and on medicine for that, and you know, there he had a lot of problems. So I bought all that, you
mm-hmm.
know, depression medication. You know, I bought that.
Mhm.
But years went
and many
by.
Many of us do. Mhm.
Yeah. So.
You know, but still in all, even before that point, you know, talk a little bit about how was your relationship in the beginning? Like, how old were you when you met him?
I was 33 when I met him,
mm-hmm.
and I was leaving an abusive marriage after 18 years, and married him really quick, but he was abusive too, so I went from one abusive marriage to the next.
Now, let's stop there for a minute, Deborah, because one of the things I was having this conversation earlier with someone, and maybe you can affirm this for me. I tell women that when you leave an abusive marriage, you need time to put your life on track, because you'll just jump into another relationship with somebody else who's abusive because it may be less than what you had, or, you know, these guys are predators and they just know how to find us. Would you say that's true?
I would say that's fair, and we really do need, you know, time. I think time alone after a marriage ends or a breakup, when you break up with your boyfriend, I think you need some time alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had that. I was 15 when I married my first husband, and then right after divorcing him, 4 months later, I married the gay husband, so I had never
mm-hmm.
been alone, and I think in some ways I was stunted from that, you know.
Well, I think you developed a sense of codependency. You know, if you've never
yes.
been on your own and you've always been with someone and they make you believe that you're not going to make it without them, it's, even though that's not true, but I'm saying they convince you of that, that it's easy to become codependent on having
yes.
to have someone. And I think that's
yes.
why many women make that mistake in their second relationships or their third relationships, because they jump. And trust me, I was certainly one who did it. So I'm not, believe me, I'm not criticizing anyone who does it. I know it. I was only with my ex-husband for 3 months before I married him. It was a very
yes.
intensive romance, and we just thought fate brought us together, so why wait? He wanted to get married, and I thought, okay, it was a good timing for me. So, you know, I was in my 20s and I was a romantic. I got out of a couple bad marriages and I said, okay, this must be the one I'm waiting for. But again, based on my own insecurities and my own lack of self-esteem, you know, I jumped before I would have spent more time understanding what was really going on there. And,
yes.
you know, he was confused too. You know, he really thought he could change, I guess, and he just couldn't. But, you know, there's
yeah.
always signs that we see. And like you were saying, that sometimes you beat yourself up because you couldn't see them, but a lot of times we're stuck and we don't want to see them. Would you say that's true,
yeah.
too?
Yes, I do. I feel like I was stuck. And now when I look back, I feel like I was living blind
mm-hmm.
in darkness. That this was a big awakening for me. I mean, it was really huge.
Mm-hmm.
Really woke me up. Not just things about, not just about him, but about my own insecurities and,
mm-hmm.
you know, like being a people pleaser and not wanting to say no to anything and, or anybody, you know. I started doing some work on myself. Much needed work.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's where all women have to start. Because I always say women who go into these relationships are usually vulnerable, either coming out of an abusive relationship like you did, or they may
mm-hmm.
be coming out of a home where there's abuse, you know, emotional, physical, sexual abuse. And they're
yes.
thinking that whoever this is going to love them, it's better than where they were. But, you
yes.
know, there were problems that brought you into these marriages to start with. Are there, in most cases, not every single case, but in many cases. And as you're saying, unless you start working on you, you're just going to keep finding these guys, right?
Right, exactly.
And to be honest with you, Deborah, for people who don't know you, you know, haven't seen you, I mean, you are a beautiful woman. So it's
Thank
not
you.
A matter of self-esteem because you don't look good. You look gorgeous. I mean, and this happens to women across the board. You know, self-esteem isn't built on look what I look like in the mirror. It's built on look what I feel like inside.
And that,
you know, a lot
that's hitting the nail on the head. You know, if you don't
mm-hmm.
feel good about yourself on the inside, it doesn't matter, you know, what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
We have
it's
to.
How you feel about yourself.
Yes.
So that's why when people say, well, you know, if I looked like her, and guess what? If I looked like you, I would have still had that same issue because you had the same issue. So it doesn't matter that you're beautiful. That, you know, you still had the same problems. And, you know, women have to stop being so hard on themselves. You know, I feel so
and
bad that women shouldn't take...
We are good at that.
I know.
We are good at being hard on ourselves.
Too hard on ourselves. You know, we have to take a step back. And number one, stop blaming ourselves. I mean, we didn't create the situation. We fell into it. And it's easier for people to say, well, you should have known there were red flags in front of your face. But sometimes those red flags are like a light orange or dark green, maybe, because you just are not at the point of seeing them. And I always tell women, when you live in a situation that's not the right one, you start emotionally deteriorating. So you really don't have the strength to do what you need to do. Would you say that's true?
Yeah. I say it's absolutely true. I don't even know how I got out of bed to get on a plane to come here because I was so emotionally and physically wiped out. You know, I didn't even want to get out of bed anymore. I wasn't functioning.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your book, and your book just came out a few weeks ago, and this is a dynamite book, Signs of the Gay Husband, Identifying Closeted Gay Husband Behaviors. You know, you've been actively involved in working and supporting women in our support network for a few years, and you've learned a lot from them. I know
yes.
that you've included a lot of their stories, too. But I just
yes.
wanted to go through the list that you had, if we could discuss it a little bit, from your book. And this is from Deborah's book, and she has a list here. She made a list, she says, I made a list of common gay behaviors in hopes that it will help other women who may be going through the same thing. The first one is that he never kisses. So
yes.
Was it privately,
my husband,
publicly?
No, he didn't even kiss privately. He said he didn't like to kiss.
Okay. I know men who say that, who are gay. So, yep, I think that's definitely a sign. How about we had not been intimate in 10 to 12 years? I lost count before that. It was rare.
Yes.
That's definitely a sign, right?
Yes, it is.
Because straight men want sex, right?
Yes, because I was married once before to a straight man, and I can tell you that I was the one saying no. At times, you know.
Right. Exactly.
Not
so how about sex was robotic, or he seems inexperienced no matter how long you've been together?
And that was it for me. He always seemed inexperienced, you know. And the years we were together, he didn't improve.
Right, because some men are not sexually experienced when you get married, but
mm-hmm.
because they're so excited now that they're married and they can have sex, especially guys who are coming from religious backgrounds, you know, so now, even if they weren't experienced, they really want to get the experience, right?
Yes.
If they're straight, I meant. Whether they're not straight, they're not looking for that kind of experience. Okay,
sure.
Then how about... He never bought Christmas or birthday gifts. In fact, he hated holidays.
Yes. This was like a big thing every year. He didn't want to spend holidays with any of his family or my family. Or he just wanted to stay home, just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty
isolating.
Did he feel
he was trying... Right. That's what I wanted to ask you, Deborah. Did you feel at any point he was trying to isolate you from your family?
Well, I don't. I was isolated from my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that if he was intentionally doing that to me, I think it was his problem. I think he didn't like being around people. I mean, there's times he went off on his own and out drinking by himself, and he had acquaintances, but he didn't have any real friends that hung out, you know, the house.
I think, you know, it's interesting. Many gay men don't have friends, the gay men who are our husbands, gay husband kind of gay men. And I really believe, now you can tell me if you agree with this or not, it's because that if they're around other men who are straight, they're afraid that people will know.
I think so.
They know that
really,
they'll be spotted or they'll recognize that they're not straight.
Well, I think that's true. And there was once that we went to Atlanta to his aunt's for Thanksgiving, and she had a basement converted into a guest room. And all his family came, and cousins from out of town, and he stayed in the basement the whole time. He didn't even socialize with his own family.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I think that's really why. Yeah. They don't have... I haven't met hardly any of our women through the years who ever said, yeah, my ex-gay husband had a lot of friends. They all say they don't hardly have any friends, or they have women friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really why. They're afraid to be around straight men, because straight men will be able to say there's something wrong here.
Yeah.
Okay, then the next thing you said that, so let me just go back to this one. He blamed depression, alcohol, and medication for not having sex, even when a doctor in front of me said that he could no longer function sexually. The doctor ordered tests on his testosterone levels, and he never went to take the test.
Yes.
Because that would be a telltale sign, right? If his testosterone levels would be normal, then there'd be no reason why he wouldn't be able to have sex with you.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't like doing those tests. All right, how about he suffers from narcissism? A narcissist creates a false identity because they don't have an identity of their own. They feed off other people's energy. The gay husband creates a false identity and uses you to help maintain the facade. I believe this is why they become narcissistic. So that's a good one. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Were they narcissistic first, or did being gay turn them into narcissists?
See, I don't know. I would like to know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think that hiding who they are and living in this denial, maybe that creates the narcissism, because they've created a false self.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have to be somewhat narcissistic to do that, don't you?
Yes.
You have to put your needs before others' needs.
Yes.
Your
selfish
needs.
Yes, and in my marriage, the whole marriage was about him and his needs. You know,
mm-hmm.
There was nothing for me in that marriage.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is really common with our women that you've been involved with, you know, and giving support to. Don't you notice this is kind of like a pattern?
Yes. It is a pattern.
Right. You know, whether it's a matter of becoming that way because you must focus yourself on you to protect yourself, or, you know, once again, I'm not sure if it's the chicken or the egg, but whatever it is, once they get involved in these relationships, revolve around them, you know,
yes,
in an amazing way. They're really not that interested in anything you have to say, only how much they can use you and suck up from you.
Yes.
Like, depending on the kind of audience you are.
Yes, and my my ex-husband, he liked to listen to music, and he blared it so loud that he had a cousin that used to come from Georgia to visit us, and one time he came and brought a friend, and my husband always, he has company, he's blaring the music so loud that nobody can talk or hear, nothing but loud music, and his cousin and the friend went and slept in their cars. The music was so loud, and you know, I didn't listen to music that much, but once in a while when I did, if he saw that I was enjoying a song, he would say, turn that off, I don't feel like listening to music right now.
Did he get to choose the movies you went to?
We rented movies at home. And
were they what he wanted to watch?
Yeah, what he wanted to watch, but I would get my movie too. Not that he would watch my movie with me, but, you know, I'd go ahead and rent me one too. But he chose the music and the conversation. Oh, he talked so much, Bonnie. He never shut up. And I couldn't even talk on the phone to my kids long distance without him interrupting. It reminds me now, I'm around my little 3-year-old granddaughter, and she doesn't like me to be on the phone, and she'll do anything to get my attention when I'm on the phone. So this is what it reminds me of. I mean, him, like a 3-year-old.
I think the issue there for a lot of these men is control. That they want to make sure you know that they're in control. And they can even control when you're having a private conversation with someone by constantly interrupting it and letting you know that, you know, you can't just have a pleasant conversation with someone. I know one of the tactics my ex-husband used to do is that when my family would come over, he would purposely start a fight, you know, usually with me. And they wouldn't want to see us fighting. That was unpleasant for them. And eventually they would just say, well, we're not coming over. And that was a control factor. You know, they don't want people to upset their surroundings. So the same thing when they're jumping in.
My ex-husband did that too. When my kids come from Texas to Florida to visit me, he would start a fight while they were there.
And that's what they like to do. Exactly. And they have to take something that's a pleasant situation and just turn it inside out. And that's their way, once again, of keeping you alienated and also keeping control. Okay, so the next thing you say is that he is moody, angry, and abusive physically or verbally, projecting and blaming. Mind blame me for everything wrong in his life. They start to see you as standing in their way. Let's talk a little bit about that, Deb.
Well, my ex-husband was very abusive, and he was abusive early, physically abusive early in our marriage. And I had him arrested about 3 times, and he had probation in court, and so he learned not to, you know, put his hands on me like that, but the threat of violence was always there. I mean, he would still come at me, hold pillows over my face. He wasn't putting bruises on me anymore. But throughout, you know, there was, he had a lot of anger and verbal abuse, and the threat of physical violence was always there.
Now, that's one thing that I didn't have to go through. My ex-husband was not physically abusive at all. He was just mentally and emotionally abusive and controlling. But I never felt, you know, physically threatened. But I know we have a number of our women who feel very physically threatened or who were physically abused. You know, much in the way that you were. No bruises would be shown, but they would be choked, you know, like with a pillow or, you know, kicked or whatever the case was. Because these men are, once again, having to be in control, they're unhappy, they're miserable because they're living a lie that they created and blaming you, making, you know, even though you're the victim here, they feel you're victimizing them. This is another one you came up with next, disappearing and not saying where he's going.
Yes. And that happened throughout my marriage, you know, it could be a Saturday or Sunday, and I'd be asleep, and I'd wake up, and he would be gone.
Mm-hmm.
He would be outside working on his car or something, and I'd look out there, and he's gone. And he stays gone all day. And he comes back, and where have you been? Oh, he'd say he'd been down to this car lot that was closed looking at cars. I'm like, I didn't say nothing, but he wasn't there all day at a closed car shop. Or he'd say he had to go to Lowe's or Home Depot, and he wouldn't really have anything. I mean, he didn't come back with anything from there. So,
and that's a very big hot. That's a big pickup spot. Did you know that?
Yeah, I didn't at the time. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
And when I know now. And when I first got here, I was missing him. And don't ask me why, because I don't know why I felt that I missed him. But I'd walk into Lowe's or Home Depot or Walmart, and I would think of him.
Uh-huh.
Places reminded me of him. But,
well, he was hanging out there, all right, but he wasn't thinking about you.
No.
Because those are big gay pickups for men, which really surprised me. I think, you know, some lessons that I've learned along the way. For instance, when men would tell me they would go to straight gyms over gay gyms, I would say, well, why would a gay guy do that? But they would say that gay married men go to the straight gyms, and that's who they hook up with there. You know, so
yeah.
That was really a lesson. My ex used to go to the gym all the time.
Yeah, I didn't know about all this. You know, very naive, and so naive that I walked in on him setting up a Craigslist account, and I asked him, he said, he even toyed with me, and this really gets me because he says, I made a mistake on my age. And I said, well, what's this for? He said, to sell a boat motor. And I said, well, why do they need your height, age, and weight to sell a boat motor? I said, you could say you're 100 years old. If that's what you're doing, you know, selling a boat motor. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to help him. I was trying to help him correct.
That's all right, Deb.
I mean,
no matter how stupid you feel right now, we've all gone through it and done it.
Well, I'm sorry I didn't hear that.
I said no matter how stupid you feel for telling that story, we've all done the same stupid things. Didn't question those kind of things. What do you mean you need your weight to rent something?
Yeah.
Exactly. How about the fact that he was fixated on his computer or phones, never allowed you to see anything personal?
He especially, you know, towards the end of our marriage, he was constantly on the computer and didn't even want me walking in the room when he was on it. But even, you know, my daughter, they used to come visit with the kids, and I would let the kids go on there with a paint program or something, and he'd be about to come undone, you know, like really nervous and hovering over them and not wanting them on there, and he took the computer to have it while they were there to have it wiped. He was constantly taking that computer back to factory state, I guess, to take everything off of it that he'd been on.
Mm-hmm.
And, after he'd take everything back to factory state, you have to reload it, all your apps and everything, with the disk, and then he would leave it for me to reload all of our software. Yeah, he was real paranoid about the computer, but one time I looked in the history and I clicked on a link and it took me to a gay porn site. And I don't even think I said porn on the computer, and he started hollering and saying that I gave us a virus, and then he shut up, and when he shut up, I thought, oh, he's not going to say anything else. I better be quiet. I can't believe I got by with this, got off so easy.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Exactly. And that was one of the next thing you said. If you find gay porn on the computer, I found gay porn on the computer. I was told it was my fault that I gave us the computer virus.
Yes.
And I do want to tell women that it's not unusual. We've had other people on here telling their stories that a lot of times the husbands will say, well, I'm not looking at gay porn. It must be our son. You know,
yes.
Trying to rat them out, to, you know, because they want to save themselves. So I find that so sad that you're willing to point the finger at your child rather than take responsibility. How about the strange phone calls? The strange phone calls. You know, the strange man called my house once and said my husband was supposed to meet him for a cookout. I did not know what
Bonnie,
that meant at the time.
No, I didn't know what that meant. And most of the time when people say cookout, they're talking about a barbecue. But
mm-hmm.
I think you could have been on the other end of that conversation to hear that the man was upset. And my husband had stood him up, and he wanted me to give my husband this message. You give your husband this message. You know, and he's angry and he's upset. And he said, you tell him he was supposed to meet me for a cookout. Well, it's not the time of the year that people have barbecues. It's January.
Even in
and
Texas, right?
Yes. And this was in Florida, so, you know.
It's even worse, right.
So, anyway, I tell my husband, you know, this man called and he said you were supposed to meet him for a cookout, and it's the first time I ever seen him have a loss for words. He turned back to me, walked out the back door into the backyard and didn't say one single word to me. And I didn't question him. I didn't say, well, who was that? And I didn't.
You should
have
asked him to bring you back some hot dogs. At least from the barbecue, right?
Yes.
Exactly. How about he always noticed men's bodies and never women? I never worried when he was with a woman.
And Bonnie, and I hate to admit this, this is what I liked about him. Is that he didn't, you know, look at women. He didn't seem to be interested in women. And when he talked about men and how they were built, he's mostly talking about their physique. I thought that it was because he felt bad about his own self.
Mm-hmm.
Or that he wasn't happy with his own physical appearance. But, yeah, that is the thing. My first husband he cheated constantly. It was ongoing and never ending. And I think that's what attracted me to the gay husband. He didn't seem to. And for a while, it felt like I was the... And I probably was, up until the end, the only woman in his life.
The first and last, right? Well, the first but not the last, but the first woman in his life. All right, so then, you know, also here's another one, that he was homophobic, or the opposite, he could bring up gay subjects.
Yes, and mine brought up gay subjects, and this was... A few weeks before I left, he was asking me, do I think that gay people can live a monogamous life? Then he also brought up he had an uncle that was gay that committed suicide. And he didn't commit suicide because he was gay. He committed suicide because he had HIV and... He was, getting sick with AIDS, and he didn't want to put his family through that. So he told me he felt, my husband told me he felt bad about making fun of his gay uncle.
You know, I don't know about your husband, but I know my ex-husband had too much gay conversation. I mean, straight men don't talk about gay things.
Yeah.
You know, bring it up a lot. Even homophobic remarks. You know, they don't talk like that normally.
It's
my ex was always talking about gay.
Yeah, we discussed views on Christian views on homosexuality. I mean, they were just brought up. I don't know why I was discussing these things. These were subjects he brought up.
Yeah. All of a sudden out of nowhere, right?
Yes.
So that was certainly one of the things that I saw, too. Okay, how about gay men hate female private body parts? They even make derogatory comments, and they also hate our smells.
Yes. Only one time in the marriage did my husband make derogatory comments to me. But I had never been told something like that before in my life. It was so awful and so painful.
And I think that this what's happened to many of our women. You know, the pain of hearing you smell, or I can't kiss you because your breath is bad, or I can't touch you down there because it's stinky, or why don't you get clean or clean yourself up? You know, why do you always smell like that? And, of course, you smell like a woman, but you don't realize that. So it's so dehumanizing to you. And I will women who have spent hundreds of dollars on treatments to take away a smell that's a natural, normal, beautiful smell to a straight man.
Yeah.
But no matter what, will always be repulsive to a gay man. And I think that's one of the things I hold against these men so much. You know, they say, oh, well, women smell like fish. Okay, and you smell so good. You know, it's a matter that in their heads, this is what it's like because they're gay men. They don't want to be with a woman. Especially in those kind of places.
They even have a name that they call the wife, like the wife and kids of their lover. They call them fish and chips. That's their slang term for the wife and kids.
All right, how about references to anal sex, or he would choose that type of sex if you were willing?
Yes. In the beginning, my ex-husband did bring that up, but it wasn't something that I was going to do. And he didn't, you know what I said to him? When he brought that up, I said, you want gay sex. He never, ever brought that up again. But I had the feeling that that's what he would have wanted, you know, throughout the marriage.
How about sudden changes in appearance, shaving body hair, obsessing with hair, buying new clothes?
And this happened, you know, before I left towards the end of the marriage. That my husband had suffered some breakdowns with psychosis. And now I believe it was from living in the closet for so long. And after these breakdowns, he changed. And he started shaving his underarms and dyeing his hair, and he became obsessed with photographs of himself when he had never, maybe he just didn't want to take pictures with me, I don't know, but he never took pictures, you know, throughout the years, 22 years that we were together. He just said he didn't like to take pictures, and he rarely did. We had 3 pictures taken together in 22 years, and here at the end, every single day. He even went and bought himself a tripod, and he's having me take pictures over and over. I think he was online and needed a good profile picture or something. I don't know.
Let me ask you about the shaving of body hair. Was he shaving all over?
No, just his underarms.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't I didn't get that either.
Because I know a lot of gay men, you know, they like other men to
shave
the pubic area. Some of them, they want baldies, they want this or that. You know, they have their own fetishes and all. But then I also know men who are transgender of some nature who also like to shave all of their hair off their legs, their arms. They want to be more feminine. So I was just curious. Okay, how about pay attention to the grooming habits, such as he wants to be ready for a sexual encounter at any given moment.
This was something that was constant. You know, his cleaning himself. And he took like 2 or 3 soaks a day, but every time he went to the bathroom, he showered off afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I know that I could always tell when my ex was going to meet someone, because the way he dressed and the way he shaved and put on cologne were things that he never did for me. So I knew he was doing them for someone else. You know, after a while, you get, you know, you start recognizing these signs.
Yes,
how about he never
do.
Initiates sex? You may think they are the most asexual person you have ever met. A man does not give free, a man does not give up 5, 10, or 20 years without sex. He's having sex, just not with you.
Yes. And I don't know, and this is what gets me, is that I don't know how I thought, you know, he demanded that I was faithful to him through this marriage, even though we weren't having sex. So he like, if you ever do anything or cheat on me, it's over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know he was out there cheating on me with men, and, you know, I stayed faithful, though, throughout the marriage. And which led me, I mean, to a life of celibacy. So now I think it's only fair that he lives a life of celibacy.
Well, do you think he's doing that?
No,
no. Right, exactly.
I think...
I'm sure he's not.
No.
No, these guys don't care. How about that maintaining separateness, wanting to keep separate bank accounts? I think this is a good hint to women, not wanting to own anything together.
I think he didn't want to have that tied to me, tied down to me. He wanted to be free for whenever he got ready to go. He wouldn't own anything with me. He wanted to keep everything separate.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's common also, that has to be a red flag to women. You don't have to keep your things separate. And you do have to check up on what they're doing. Okay, you talk about gaslighting, which I call gay lighting, which is a form of mental abuse in which false information is presented with the intent of making victims doubt their own memory.
Well, I think my ex-husband did this to keep me off balance.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something simple like, I mean, he would do this, I'm leaving my pen and my piece of paper, and it better be here when I get back. You better not touch it, you better not move it. And I wouldn't move it. And he used this as an excuse to tear me down. It wasn't about the pen and the paper, but he moved the pen and paper and said I did. I mean, he moved it himself because I found it in his drawer where he put it. And I said, see, here it is. Here's where you put it. But he would use this excuse to tear me down as a person.
Right.
This little incident. He would use any little incident to tear me down.
Mm-hmm.
And this could last for hours. And tear me down. Oh, he would even tell me that your kids know how you are. I mean, he always had backup, too. Everybody knows how you are. Your kids know
how
you are.
That's how mine said. Mine would always say everybody knows what you're like. Mine would say who's everybody. Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody knows what you're like. Everybody knows you're a bitch. Everybody knows you're this and that. Everybody you're telling or what?
Yeah.
But next one also, I think it's very interesting that women should know about, Deborah, the hepatitis C. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, 2 years after, and I had never, I've heard of hepatitis, but 2 years after we were married, I had, at that point, I'd never heard of, there's a hepatitis B and hepatitis C, and I didn't know about that then, but my husband, I guess they made him take, he worked on the base, and they made him take blood work every year. Well, his liver enzyme levels were elevated, so they told him to go to his own doctor. And he did, and they did blood work, and they told him that, he had hepatitis C. And he came home, and he said, I gave this to him, and so I go get checked, and I don't have it. I still
You're a carrier. You're a carrier, though.
So, yeah, so anyway, when he came out, he said the doctor told him, and I don't know why he ever admitted this to me, but he said the doctor told me a lot of gay men get hepatitis C. So The next time he goes to the doctor, he takes me with him so the doctor can see that he's married, I guess, because the doctor figured him for a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go with him next time, and, you know, he... telling us both about hepatitis C. But, he went for, you know, years, and he was okay, and then he, you know, he started getting sick with it and had to go on treatment for hepatitis C. But I think it's something to look at if your husband comes home with a sexually transmitted disease or illness.
Absolutely. And about 20% of the women that are through my network, you know, have STDs. They have HIV, they have AIDS, they have syphilis, gonorrhea, you know, HPV virus. And, of course, many times their ex-husbands, you know, try to convince them that, you know, they never had it. They gave it to them.
Yes.
I mean, they can't even be honest about that, which to me is deplorable. All right, let's just talk about one more that I think is important, Deborah, because then people can buy this book and read all these wonderful things. Hiding Behind Religion. Talk about that a little bit.
Now, I didn't experience that, but I have a co-writer on my blog, Georgia Lentine, and she wrote about this. She experienced that in her marriage. Her husband used religion to keep her down. So,
a lot of men do that. And religion is the key to this in many cases, because many men feel they can't be gay. So they get married knowing they're gay, and then they feel, you know, that the women force them into this. You know, they take out societal issues on their wives and make them feel even worse, or use the church to hide behind it.
Yeah.
So this book, so many interesting stories, and your writing on your blogs is always so right on target. You know, I'm very proud to be part of your blog system, that I get to read everything the minute it comes out because I'm on your list. But there are so much good information in this book, you know, including a gay husband recovery, letters from straight wives, you know, invisible man, you know, so many things that if you're going through this, that if you read Deborah's book, you definitely will get a very wide world view. And normally, you know, I don't recommend people to read books other than mine. However, in Deborah's case, I've read her book, and, you know, there's so much good information in there that I'm happy to recommend it to people, because it's up to date, you know, it's relevant, it's now and happening now. It just came out, and it's with stories from women who are going through this at this time. Not that the story ever really changes, but it's always great to find new stories to be updated with. So, Deborah, if people want to get this book, they can get it either as a paperback or on, you know, they can get it as a on Amazon's Kindle, correct?
Yes, and if they're enrolled in the Kindle program, or if they even get the free trial of the Kindle program, they can read the book for free. Because Kindle offers it for free in their program, or their trial program, too.
Well, that's
fine,
Deborah.
You don't have to
tell that to people. Let's help people pay for the darn book. It's not that much. And let it go towards helping Deborah, who spent all her time and energy writing this book, and it's inexpensive enough, and you get a lot of bang for your buck. You're a worse salesperson than I am. That's why we'll never be rich, Deborah, either one of us. But okay.
I just... Thank you, Bonnie.
It's the truth. Let them pay. It's a few dollars, you know, the least you deserve for all the information you're giving out. But right for right now, this book is only on Amazon. Maybe in future years it'll be in other stores. But, you know, people are familiar with Amazon.com. And then once again, you can go to Deborah Sutton, and her book will show up. And, you know, if you forget the name, Signs of a Gay Husband, you can just type that in, and Deborah's book will come up. So, Deborah, I thank you so much for coming on here tonight. On a personal level, I thank you for everything that you do to help other women going through this tragedy. You know, you're one wonderful woman who's so willing to give back to others and to be support to them, and that's what we're all about.
And thank you, Bonnie.
Such a pleasure,
it's been a pleasure
knowing you. Thank you, Deborah. I'm a fan and you're a fan, so we're in good shape, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, so to all our listeners, we'll talk to you again soon. Love to all of you, and Deborah, love to you.
And
even though I've never
too.
Had a chance to hug you myself, one day that'll happen, and you know I love you.
Yeah, I love you too,
all right,
Bonnie.
Ladies, have a wonderful night, and we'll see if I can put us out with the Beatles tonight. Let's see if they're working. I know the audio's having trouble, but okay. Good night, everybody.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Hello?
Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. Black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.